Well, this evening I have a kind of Christmas reflection for us to think about and to ponder. Let me first read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, which says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be under or upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we ponder some things this evening, I pray that you would open our ears, Lord, that we might hear, our eyes that we might see. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct me. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open our spiritual eyes. And Lord, that you would show us many wonderful things this evening. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like many of you, I have many family members who are here tonight in the front row. So many of you are kind of nervous of the front row, and so I've invited them to take the spot. But like many families, we had different Christmas traditions. And a tradition that we have when we celebrate Christmas in Houston is we go to the church that I grew up at. And we have a service very similar to this. And at the end, there's a time where we take candles and we light, very similar to what we will do tonight. And we sing Silent Night. And every time we do this at this specific church, I look to my brother and I kind of laugh. I look to my other brother and smile, because we have kind of this inside joke. And the inside joke goes like this. It's a true story that when we were little kids, we were there when something new was added to the song. The song was being sung and everything was going well. They passed all the candles out. The pastor was up front, and at kind of the height of the verse, he kind of just lifts his candle. And you looked out, and everyone just in response couldn't help but also lift theirs. And then he moved his after a while to the left, and it seemed to go perfectly with the music. And everyone just kind of synchronized that movement. And then later, he went and he brought it back. And it was so moving and an event that from that day forward, every pastor after every pastor would do this during Silent Night. That it was just got such a great response. It was perfect for the tone of the song. And we are laughing every year because we know a little bit of the history. I was asking my dad a long time ago, "Dad, why did he do that? Like, how did he know?" What, you know, I wasn't even thinking about being a pastor, but I'm thinking, you know what? What pastoral brilliance, you know, this. And my dad found out, and the pastor said this: "Well, I was up there leading, and the wax started to drip on my Bible. So I didn't know what to do, so I held it out. And then it started dripping on the decorations, so I moved it to the side. And this poor candle, you know, we have these little cups now, which are good. This poor candle was dripping over everything. And yet, without knowing it, you know, he was making a historical event that would forever affect this church." And I will say this, that every pastor that comes in from that point on is trained in kind of the Silent Night, you know, candle ritual of how you handle it up front. And I'll say this as well, you know, if we're there, it's not really a Christmas without it, because we have these Christmas traditions. And many of you probably also have Christmas traditions. And if you were to kind of take a poll, say, all right, what's the ideal Christmas look like? It probably looks a little bit like this. You come to a service like this, you're able to sing songs, you go home, all right, and you read stories to the kids, and then you go in there and you catch the last hour of It's a Wonderful Life, and you crawl in bed under the blankets, and all of a sudden, at about 4 a.m., the snow starts falling, creates a blanket of snow. You know, the streets are clear, though, and you have big flakes that are falling, And, you know, in the morning we wake up, there's a fire there, Christmas music starts, we open gifts, and we watch faces and smiles kind of all around us, and the world sleeps in heavenly peace, right? I mean, that's our idea of a good Christmas. It has the strong Christmas tradition. And there is something about the human heart that longs for that. I mean, there's something about this season that we just respond to in a way that we don't respond other times of the year. And we actually have an illustration in our house. And most of you probably have a house that has a Christmas tree. And if you think of a Christmas tree, and to give that kind of illustration, it's cut off, right? And then they go and they put it in the lot. And while it's in the lot, finally some family comes and takes the tree and they shave off about an inch and a half. And then what do they do as soon as they get it home? But they go and they plop it into the stand. And why do they put it in the stand? So that they know that this tree, which has been deprived of moisture, been deprived of, you know, nutrients, that it wants to just, it laps that up, right? It wants that, it desires that. And when you think of, you know, why is that tree desiring it? Well, it had that at a certain point, and now it's wanting it, and so it finds this water in this stand, and it laps it up. And I think that in a similar way, that's what happens to our hearts at Christmas. We have a desire for something. And what happens is all these things happen at Christmas, all of these incredible things, and we just lap it up. We want it. And so, you know, with almost all of us, there's probably some nostalgic connection to Christmas. Maybe as a little kid, usually as a little kid, you have some connection there. And it's a time of, you know, youthful innocence for you. You know, a time where you felt that you were protected and safe. And so there's a return to that kind of every season, right? I mean, it's part of that as well. It's also this time of love. That we look around, we're giving gifts, we're receiving gifts. It's this time of love, time of hugs and kisses. And then we also have this sense that, you know, all the pain and suffering in this world feels far off, right? Feels that it is in a different place. And we have this time for a little bit where death and sickness and suffering, no more worry or anxiety other than, you know, getting the meal prepared and all of that. But other than that, you know, it's replaced by this peace for a season. And our hearts lap it up. We love it. We want it. This is something that when you think about, what does this say about our hearts? What does it say? What are we longing for? What is the human condition that across the board, across our nation, across our world, those who celebrate this day, that we just want all of these things? We want innocence. All right? We want this full of love. We want, you know, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. All of these things. And it says about us that we have a remnant of something. All right, a remnant of something. It's kind of like the snow outside. If you were to go outside, the snow has a remnant of something that happened Wednesday night and Thursday morning, right? A remnant of this, you know, this snow fall that comes and leaves this blanket of white on our ground. And what is it now? If you go outside and you look at it, what does it look like? All right, it's some of it's still white, but some of it, you know, is just as hard as could be, right? Has that ice sheen on top. And if you drive down the freeway, you see this piled up kind of black snow on the side. But it's a remnant. It's what's left of something long ago. And in the same way, what we have, I believe, in these longings that come out at Christmas time is a remnant of something from long ago, a remnant, once again, of innocence, of security, of relationships and love and absence of suffering, wanting to be hidden from death. And I believe it's because that was how God originally made us. Ecclesiastes says that He has made everything beautiful in its time. And then it says this, a very interesting passage. It says, He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. That we have eternity set in our hearts, and yet we're mortal. Our days are numbered, and yet what's in our heart? Eternity, forever. And that what you have is this remnant of God's original creation. wanting eternity, and yet we find ourselves not being eternal, but being mortal. And after the fall, I think we have the remnant of those longings remaining. Our fellowship with God is broken, and yet that longing for it remains. Death enters the world, and yet our longing for life remains. We have sin entering the world, yet our longing for innocence remains. Strife enters the world, but our longing for peace remains. And like that Christmas tree that we discussed, we find water at Christmas time, and we just lap it up. We find those pieces of that, and we lap it up. But here's the problem. What's the problem with the Christmas tree? Is a Christmas tree really longing for a stand with water in it? What's it longing for? It's longing for its roots. It's not longing just for water and nourishment, but it's longing for its roots. It's longing for its original system. And I will tell you, you know, they're called evergreen trees, but they're really not. All right? We used to, a little family tradition after Christmas, we'd take our tree down around March. And my family loves being here this evening. No, we'd take our tree down later than most. And we'd take it, we'd pull off the ornaments, we'd take it, and we'd go throw it over our fence. And so my brothers and I, when we would jump on the trampoline, you could look over the fence and be like walking down, you know, the Christmas tree, you know, memory list of all the, you know, 85 was a good year, you know. But there's something about them, and that something is this, that they were all brown. Because that water wasn't there, wasn't meant to sustain them, wasn't meant to give them life. This tree longed for the water, but the water wasn't accomplishing life. And in the same way, all of the beautiful things of this time, they say something about the remnant within us, this longing for these things that are seem to be broken, seem to be missing. And yet we're satisfied for a season, and then we move on and we go back to the regular things. And then it comes around again. Ah, here's water again. And then we go back to the regular things. And here's what's interesting about this time. It is a time of year where our heart's longing run parallel. I mean, it's right alongside. Our longing and those longings being answered for a season during our Christmas tradition run parallel and right alongside a story that often becomes a tradition itself. But a story that actually has the power to address those longings, not just for a season, but forever. And we have that longing for innocence, love, peace, being able to forget sickness and suffering and death. And yet here is a story that has the power to actually overcome that forever. And the story is this, that God made mankind. He made all of us. All right, and he made it and he said it was very good. And at that point, not long after, we had mankind messing up, sin coming into the world, and immediately God starts on this this work of redeeming and restoring that which is lost. And all of that comes to fulfillment. We talked about it on Sunday, if you were part for that, comes to fulfillment in this baby who comes down. And it's the baby that we just got done singing about. This one who has a desire to bring back all of these things that we struggle with, who can bring back and restore our innocence because we find our righteousness in Him. He can come back and restore our security because we find our security in Christ. And I want to read to you now the passage that tells that story. And my desire for you this evening, as we have kind of this reflection time, not as much teaching, but reflecting on these things. But I'm going to read this to you, and I'm asking that you reflect on it. Does this story year-round have the ability to sustain you? Is there one who can come into your life and bring you back to those roots? Not just a little seasonal deal, but can nourish you year-round. Let me read a story that we know and love. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just a couple of comments and then we'll pray. But I'll say this, that this story is really the climax of the entire story of God's redemptive story that he began long ago. And that Christianity, unlike other religions, is not about man finding his way to God. Man can't find his way to God. If you're here tonight thinking that you can find your way to God, you need to look at the virgin birth. Virgin birth is not about man going and finding God. What's it about? God coming and finding us. And that says something beautifully tonight, that you have worth, you have dignity, because God loves you so much that he sent his son to come in this very innocent form, this form of a little baby, a weak form. And in this weakness, God would show his power, that he would save us through this one baby, ultimately growing up into a man who would go to the cross, who would take on our wrath that we deserve, take on our punishment. And ultimately, at the end of the day, he promises far into the future that one day he will come and he will finally do away once and for all with this suffering and this death and this grieving. That it's not just a seasonal deal, but he will finally, once and for all, carry that fully out. And right now we have things that we already can count on, which is life, which is security, which is love, a God who loves us. And I offer you that these things can be yours not just once a year, but all year long, that you actually have the roots. You were designed, you were made to have fellowship with God, and it can be found and this one named Jesus who was born long ago, who we celebrate tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we have had this reflection on the Christmas story, Lord, I pray that this story that we read, Lord, that it would be the climax not only of a message in the evening of Christmas Eve, that it would be a climax not just in the season of Christmas, but Lord, it begins a life that is the climax of the entire world. Lord, everything points to this one who is called Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that though we did not come after you, we were your enemies, and yet, God, you came after us. Lord, how beautiful to see this image in Scripture of this one who comes, who is born in a manger, who has the power to take away sin. We praise you. We pray that we would have a Merry Christmas tonight, not because of some other things that are enjoyable and pleasing, but because of your gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.